This episode of Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor is brought to you by the awesome people over at Apex Entertainment. Apex, located in Marlboro, is located right off Route 495 on Route 20. It's 100,000 square feet of pure fun for all ages. There's always perfect weather at Apex Entertainment, and it's an ideal location for a birthday party, corporate outing, or special event. Or, you know what, just to go and have some fun. Attractions include 30 bowling lanes, multi-level indoor go-kart track, laser tag, bumper cars, rope course, and arcade. Go check out apexentertainment.com. Razor and I thanks Apex Entertainment for all of their support. All right, we're not going to do a post-mortem, so to speak, of the Bruins' 7-1 shellacking at the hands of the Carolina Hurricanes as we welcome you into a Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Razor's been working his ass off. RC's been traveling. I've been put in COVID broadcaster protocol. So basically,
it's a shit show.
Get the hell out of here. It is a shit show. Welcome to the shit show. Almost literally. All right, so the Bruins lose, Razor. You guys... I know I've been there a lot. And by the way, big losses are going to happen, and I'm not going to trivialize it. I know that the team moves on, but and that this is now 8 wins in their last 10 games, and it comes off an awesome win over a very good team in Nashville, but in my opinion, not as good, nearly as good as Carolina. Would you agree with that assessment?
There's no question. Carolina's a big boy team. Whatever unit of five is on the ice looks exactly the same as the next unit of five. Very deep, very big, very strong team.
So this game reminded me in many ways of the Vegas game in Boston, when Vegas dominated the Bruins, especially with their average 6'2", 204-pound defenseman that closed the gap. I would say that this Carolina D crew is better than that. Heck, even Brendan Smith looked good. he had gap ups and everything.
Well, that's what's amazing, right? Is when Brendan Smith looks the way, like a shutdown defenseman, you know that the group of six is playing with some house money. There's no question. They have it. When you end up on a good team, that's a perfect example is Brendan Smith.
All right, so instead of doing a postmortem, there's no need for that. And it's been some days since Nashville, and we're just going to rifle through a few things here. And then quite honestly, we're going to finish, get the hell off, and go to bed. And
we'll do exactly what the Bruins are doing. Literally, take your gear off, get the hell out of the room, and deal with Washington. That's what we're going to do tonight.
Right, refocus and reset. But I'll ask the statement of this. Is this a very telling game to you of where the Bruins are not, where they need to be, where they need to get? Because I had a feeling watching this game that, by the way, I think Carolina uses these games against the Bruins. This is two games now this year where the Bruins weren't bad in Carolina, mind you, when they lost 3-0, but Carolina was still better. I believe Carolina, having had the fact that the Bruins beat them badly in the playoffs the last couple of years, I think they're using these games for them, Razor, as statement games. With that said, I don't think the Bruins, as they're constructed right now, would do well against Carolina in the playoffs at all. So to me, these are games. I look at this game and I say, this is a prime example of what the Bruins need to fix. It starts with size on defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's that, but it's still... And if you're inside the Bruins dressing room, right? If you're the Bruins players, if you're Brad Marchand, they're still looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Carolina Hurricanes in particular as little brother. And little brother's punching up in these regular season games. And I am with you 100%. This is different. I would say the Toronto mm-hmm. Maple Leafs are probably a little bit different this year than the teams in 2019. But as a player, as a Brad Marchand, as a Patrice Bergeron, they are not getting up for this game the same way the Carolina Hurricanes are. Right? That's easy yep. to say. So yes, Carolina is using this as more of a statement game, but there is 1,000% tonight's game. And you can go to Vegas, you can go to a few of the other games that we've seen this year. Tonight's game for me solidifies that the back end needs to be constructed differently come playoff time. With it was blatantly obvious. I mean, Carolina scored 5 goals from 12 feet in or closer yeah. in the first period.
Yeah. And there were numerous instances of body contact made all over the ice where Carolina was taking it to the Bruins. Now, you're going to have a bad night. You're going to have a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And
I'm not exaggerating over, I'm not going crazy over this. They were going to lose one of these games. They beat Washington 7-3 10 days ago, right. 7 days ago, whatever it right. was. And Washington's a pretty good hockey team too.
Right. But they're not as good as Carolina. And so if the Bruins are going to continue to go on this, what we called a very good run coming post shutdown or pause, this is what they have to adjust. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but it's evident because I do think eventually, by the way, Razor, and I didn't grow up with a little brother, but eventually little brother gets big sometimes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So, you Absolutely. Know, let's not forget that. Yeah. Carolina has, well, for years they were bad and now they've started to get better, but it's taken a while. Everybody talks about, oh my God, how impressive Florida is now. Well, they were really good last year. They did lose in the first round. They're excellent this year. But let's not forget they sucked for a while, right? They stunk for That's a right. long time.
Yeah.
But with all that yeah. said, this is Boston. This is New England. These are the Boston Bruins. Greatness is expected. It is. Not just okayness, but greatness is. So some work needs to be done. There's no question. I got to imagine that game, even though I don't think it's going to become Panic City, and I think that's what you're talking about, partner, is going yeah. to be, it has to be for Don Sweeney and management looking at it and saying, okay, we knew it, but now we really know it. It has to be.
It has to be. And there's also, there was extra eyes on it because of Willie O'Ree. And don't, that can't be understated as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. All the alumni are watching, you know, it's almost like a college game, right? Where the boosters are watching. This was one of those ones that everybody's watching. All the alumni guys are watching. Cam Neely is watching. The owners are watching. The commissioner's in the building. And I talked about it in pregame a little bit when Cam Neely's number was tried. I felt a lot of pressure playing that game.
Yep.
I played that game, and there's a lot of internal pressure in games like this, because people are, this is, again, Willie's not in the building a little bit, but when Cam was in the building, you had to win that game. You felt mm-hmm. as a player, you had to win that game. And there's there is an added to that, that might get overlooked a little bit. Every single person within the Bruins organization, again, the commissioners in the building, that's a big one. And that'll piss some people off up top that might, had it been last Tuesday, no one watching, all right, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's needed. You know, maybe that's just the way. Maybe we all need to be kicked in the ass sometimes, so to speak. There's nothing wrong with it.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Few other just things to run through. Oscar Steen had a tough night. But again, I'm not sure. I'm not doing a postmortem just on this game. But no surprise that the Bruins, since we last talked, elect to keep him and put Carson Kuhlman on waivers, hoping that Carson gets a good opportunity out west, Seattle. I forgot for a second where he got picked up. Hopefully he'll get an opportunity and play. But doesn't surprise me. Did it surprise you at all? It didn't.
No, no. And I would assume the Bruins knew it was coming, and maybe just as for, you know, as lack of a better way to say it, probably was the reason they put him on waivers. You know, yeah. they save some money, they get the roster spot, the whole thing. It works out for everybody, you know, and Coolman.
Maybe they do a favor with Seattle.
And a favor to Carson Coolman, right? Yeah. Favorite, you know, that happens as well, where, you know, the writing's on the wall in one organization, but he's been such a good soldier. He's been a good teammate, good player, good everything that, you know, we'll give you a chance to go somewhere else. So, but watching the damage was done with the bottom six. Right. When you look at the five players that didn't take a minus, that weren't on for any of these goals, was Patrice Bergeron, Craig Smith, mm-hmm. Taylor Hall, Eric Halla, and David Pastrnak. Second line was actually pretty good. And I know Halla takes a lot of shit, you know, the second line center, the whole thing. He played pretty shots. Well tonight. Yeah. You know, so if we're going to use that barometer, right, if we're going to use it as a measuring stick, I think I want to give a little bit of credit to him and those linemates, because David had five shots as well. Like, those guys played well, and they weren't in their zone like the other lines.
Yeah, they were the only line that – what I know the top line didn't, but that top line to me looked ineffective on the power play.
Yeah, they were.
And yeah. Therefore, you know, that's their responsibility, though, you know, when they're getting that much power play time. Mm-hmm. So I give the second line top marks, relatively speaking. Yeah. The first line,
the okay third line.
What's up with Charlie Coyle now? Is this because now all of a sudden it hasn't been as good? Since he's, you know, is this, it was early on with the third line switch. Is this a, he's not with as good a line mates? Is this a, I'm not maybe as thrilled where I am in the lineup? I don't know. I mean, I've lauded him this year. It hasn't been nearly, there was one shift actually early in the game where I'm like, okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. And then nothing, you know, came out of it. As much as I've praised him this year, and you have too, it hasn't been good lately. Not what this team needs. First, second, fourth line have been great.
Mm-hmm. Is he? I hope he's not settling in. I hope he's not okay with being the third line center. And yes, it's a good fit. And yet, but it's not a typical third line center that we expect him to be. He's got to be a dominant third line center. Like, this is a game where he's got. These are the games. Why he's at third line center. It's not up against Detroit or Buffalo. This is the game where you want him third line center so he can dominate the bottom half, which was the opposite of happening today.
Do you think, and I think I could answer my own question, but I'll ask you, being the former NHLer, I mean, the mixture of line mates that he's had, the uncertainty of the DeBrus situation, does that do anything to him? Or no, is that not even enter into his mindset?
Well, I guess I would probably, and you touched on it real quick and I might've jumped in on you, is with the Steen issue as well, or addition, where, you know, he wasn't going to be able to keep that pace. So now he's dealing with two wingers who are somewhat inconsistent at this point now. I guess you could say that. Certainly over the last three or four games. And you might feel like he might feel like he's not solidified there with what he has. But the reality
is Foligno better for him, or is that just not?
I would imagine he is better. I think at the same time, I still feel like if I'm, you know, you have a couple better skaters with you, but I think in the leadership point, right? I think you have a Foligno where he's the one that can motivate, you know, but that, again, Coyle's got to be driving that line. He's making $5.5 million on the third line. You have to have that guy driving it.
Yeah. All right. Well, not much else to really talk. I mean, Tuukka, let's touch on him quickly. Goaltending. I caught you in post game. I caught Barry enjoying himself, not having me there. I loved it. No, I loved it. I do. But I caught you talking about Tuukka, and Tuukka talked about Tuukka, you know, he knows the game's done. I know, 34, 35 years old. Okay, he's been through this. Water gone, water off his back game. You know, as soon as he's gone in the parking lot, he's done with it. I don't think any of them were his fault. I mean, it's easy for me and sit here and say the Jarvis goal where Cliffy got turned is the one where, okay, but that's, you can't replicate that in practice or whatever that much. I'm guessing that that's not a comfort zone for him yet, you know, to my eye, but otherwise all those other goals were, the hell do you want him to do?
100%. That was perfect analysis. I thought the same way, you know, that the Jarvis one, he gets the corner and then he gets in between almost bails. Right. Like, and that, I'm saying that from a goaltender's point of view.
Yeah. Anticipating like, he's going to go to the forehand. You know,
and almost like, oh, is Clifton going to cross check this kid into me? Like one of those where you just get turned around a little bit, not completely committing. He wasn't completely committed. And that can be a product of not playing for 7 months. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, again, you're worried if that's a young kid coming back from whatever. Tuukka's literally going to show up to practice. Him and goalie Bob are going to do exactly what they plan to do tomorrow in practice. He'll get his morning skate in. He'll hang out on the bench again. He'll be back Saturday. He knows that it can't go that bad again.
It's interesting.
Made a really nice save right away out of the game. I was pumped. He moved awesome laterally, made a big save with his arm, shoulder, and then they scored 2 seconds after it, and then it went downhill.
Yeah, it went just downhill. I mean, Jacob Slavin was outstanding in the game, by the way.
Him and D'Angelo had 3 points each.
D'Angelo, those guys. I mean, you know, D'Angelo is what he is, but he's worked there. He's from a hockey perspective, a value bargain type player. Again, just a shame. Absolutely. I think it was Brick who talked about it, how coming off, you know, such a wonderfully energized game against Nashville the previous game at TD Garden, but that happens. Nashville's a physical team. It's funny. They're incredibly physical, Nashville, but yet they don't seem as big as Carolina. Carolina, because of how well they skate, it's not even smother. It's suffocating smother.
Yeah, they just lean. It feels like they're leaning on everybody all the time. There really was no why. Like, the Bruins had nothing offensively either, but I think a lot of that came from the back end. I really do. They didn't move the puck well.
No, they didn't.
So it was brutal. It sucked. I feel bad for anyone that tickets. That sucked.
So Mike Riley's out of the lineup in protocol. He's got 5 more days after today. That keeps Vaakanainen in the lineup, most likely, right? He didn't have a good game. But the same could be said for everybody else. Let's see how they rebound Thursday night against Caps at home. Caps are going to be breathing fire, so to speak, after what the Bruins did to them last time. Caps are coming off a 4-3 overtime or shootout. I don't remember. Victory over Winnipeg. I'll be interested to see if they do play Tuukka on Saturday afternoon game. I mean, will he have enough? I'm assuming he'll have practice Wednesday, skate Thursday, practice Friday. Is that enough for him to start Saturday? Or do they go back to Tuukka on Thursday and then Ullmark on Saturday? I'd guess not. I'd guess they go with Ullmark on Thursday. Just my guess.
Yeah, that was my guess, put on the spot after the game. You know, that's what I went to. The afternoon game, it's the second after, you know, that later afternoon.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
You know, maybe that. But it is something. It'll be interesting. Maybe you play Ullmark twice. Right, like it's no big deal to go Ullmark, and then have Tuukka play at home Monday night, and let Tuukka get another 5 or 6, 7 days. So that could be the plan as well.
Yeah, let's go to the Apex most entertaining moment, and it's not even a question. It was watching or listening to Barry try and pronounce Kotkaniemi numerous times. We had a mixture.
When he scored the second one, there was no dodging it.
Yes.
He got 2 in the first. He had no chance to get away from it.
None. I mean, we had a mixture of Kotkaniemi meets Vaakanainen a few times. Kakaninen. We had a Kakaninen.
He had me. And I haven't worked with Barry for like 2 years, right? Because so, we've been the COVID move. We've been in and out. So he was like wording what I was trying to explain to him. It's like, oh man, I am not getting paid enough to do Billy's job. Oh shit.
It was funny. God bless him on the and some of the pronunciations. So if he didn't give me so much shit on the air earlier, I wouldn't take advantage of my buddy not being here as well. But we're all great buddies, so we have fun with it. No, Apex, most entertaining moment. By the way, folks, if you're wondering what we're saying, we're having a good time with Barry Peterson and one or two of his pronunciations. That's it, of names. One of the most tremendous human beings that I've ever met. So all in good fun. Willie O'Ree gets the number retired. It's not even a question. The most entertaining moment in the game. The most well-deserved. I thought you guys did a wonderful job talking about that. He is a special man. He did some special things. Continues to do some special things. And, you know, I thought it was a very beautifully simple, sometimes less is more. And I thought the simplicity of the service, the ceremony was outstanding. Again, that's from my guest room as I'm sitting there watching, you know, day one and a half of hanging out in there. And it was entertaining. And how was it in the arena?
No, it was great. It was a full house for a Tuesday night. People were there for that reason. You could feel that right off the bat. And again, it was just really, and we all touched on it. The one negative was that he wasn't able to be there in person and come and shake hands and see and everybody see his smile in live version down, you know, and his words would have echoed more, I think. But again, it just, he deserves to be up there. What he must have endured and what he's doing now for the game is so impressive.
And he shows so sharp. He's
86.
86.
Unbelievable how good he looks at 86.
And he's sharp. He's just, he's very bright, articulate, beautifully eloquent. Congratulations to Willie, his family, and to the Bruins for putting together a beautiful ceremony and, again, appropriate for it. And so that is hands down the Apex most entertaining moment of the game. And make sure to go to apexentertainment.com. Check it out. They've got so many fun things up in their Marlboro location. And if you're listening to us out of town, they got a couple of out-of-town locations too. Games galore. The weather is always sunny and warm at Apex, so go check them out. Razor, that's going to wrap it up. This is a quick one, kind of commando style. We did it. We get it in. There's not much to talk about. The Bruins have still won 8 of 10. Pretty well, I would say, established, unless something major, major, major bad happens in playoffs and in the East. And in particular, they could actually, in theory still, with a run in Toronto slippage, they could even end up in third. But let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We know that they got a lot of games to play still, a lot of games to make up. By the way, hearing that we could have a schedule as early as Wednesday for what the Bruins will have
in
February.
Nice.
That's the word that I'm getting. I don't know if you heard the same thing or not. So that would be good. In the meantime, Razor and I are scheduled to be back with you after Thursday's game. That game is not on Nesson. That is one of those ESPN, the Ochos, right? Isn't that like a plus-plus game? Isn't
the hula hoop? That's an Ocho Ocho one, yeah.
Right.
So
streaming only.
Good luck finding it.
Yeah, good. Exactly. We'll watch. We'll find it if we can, and we'll talk about it. And if not, we'll talk about something else. So everybody have a wonderful day, wonderful morning. Enjoy the Willie O'Ree ceremony. Take pride in that. Sure. Try and forget about the Bruins' loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. And get ready for Thursday's game against Washington and still find a way to enjoy that coffee.